end of time, this time of year, we are all stressed. There are so many things that are calling our attention, just consuming what we need to do more than the average day during this holiday season. There's so much more that we have to do, the shopping, the holiday party, the events, the things that we end up in our time. These are our customs of today. These are things that we do. And the scripture that we get to look at today, the text that we get to look at, is a very unique story. It is a story that gives us a glimpse into the life of Jesus as a boy. The life that Jesus shared with his family, with his relatives, the customs of the day, and all the things that their time. The story is also unique in the fact that as Luke writes this story, Luke was never present during this part of Jesus' time. It takes place when he was a boy. So he's relying on Jesus' mother, Mary, to recant the information, to pass on the information. Again, a very unique insight into the life and time. There are several elements of the story that talk about customs. We'll get to that. But there's a major foundational element in understanding this text and the scripture. It was actually part of the start of the service today. Philippians 2:7. It's referred to as the time when Jesus empties himself. It goes, "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Jesus chose to do this for us. Jesus humbled himself so that he could live with family, an earthly family, and so that he could grow by learning in the ways that were custom of that time. When we take a look at our text, Luke 2, 41 to 52, it's titled "The Boy Jesus at the Temple." When we take a look at this, I want you to contemplate and think about Jesus' approach to knowing God, seeking understanding, is a model of how we should do the same, no matter our age, and is something that we must teach our children. So as we start to take a look at the text for today, there'll be four key points that I'm going to look at and share with you. Before I get into that, I just wanted to give you a little personal reflection. I had the blessing to learn about this myself, to spend the time in study. But I could not have done it alone. It required other men that were more mature than myself, that could lead me and guide me, that could give me the guidance and the direction that I needed to be able to put this information together for you and to share it with you. And it's so exciting to be able to do this. And I am nervous, I can say that and be honest with you, for this is the first time I've had the blessing and the honor to be in front of any congregation on a Sunday morning. So thank you for that. So let us dive into the text for today. Luke 2, 41 to 52. And the first thought that I want to think about is family life and customs. Starting in verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the customs. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. There are several exciting parts of this. It clearly tells us that Jesus was spending this time with his parents. They were heading to a festival, something that took place three times a year for them. We know that Jesus is 12 years old, a very important time in a Jewish boy's life, a time of learning, a time of understanding, a time of being poured into by those that were around him, by his family, his friends, but also by those that were in the synagogue that were teaching him on what it meant to become a man. By the age of 13, a Jewish boy becomes a man. So there's a lot of things happening in Jesus' life right now at the age of 12. They go up to the festival according to their customs. And it says that the boy Jesus stayed behind. The festival is a week long. The journey to get there was a 60-plus mile journey by foot, approximately 3 days of travel time. There was a lot of opportunity for Jesus at that time to be with his family, to be with his friends, to be with his relatives. And when he gets to the festival, he's still eager to learn. He still is hungry. So he decides to stay behind. It's unique to think that his parents would have left and started traveling home an entire day, 20 miles worth of walking, without double checking to see if Jesus was with them. But they must have felt comfortable that their relatives were there. Other friends from their town of Nazareth was there. So they weren't concerned. Jesus was a reliable boy. He was 12, 1 year away from being considered a man in Jewish culture. They weren't that concerned until night came. And as all of their family together probably huddle up, it talks in the commentaries that they traveled in what was called a caravan. All of families and friends, relatives from the town would travel together for purposes of safety, purposes of convenience, just because that's what culture said. That's what culture did. But once they found out that Jesus was not with them, he was not in their company, they had to begin to look among their relatives and their friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Commentaries tells us that they probably slept the night there with their relatives, and the next morning they returned. Another full day's walk against the flow of traffic. The festival is over. Everyone else is leaving Jerusalem, but they are heading in the opposite direction. This is an urgent matter to them. They have lost their son. They need to go find him. So in life, we run into situations that sometimes we're going against the current, against the flow, and we don't know what the outcome will be. But we know that if we rely on our brothers and sisters, rely on God, that things will turn out okay. And that takes us to the next portion of the text. This is the area of teaching and customs. So in 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. After 3 days, that's a long time to not know where your 12-year-old son is. And I'm sure that when we as parents find our children that are lost for probably a lot less time, astonished probably isn't the first word that comes to mind. I know that at times when I got lost or my children got lost, it was heart-wrenching. You know, you are concerned. You are trying to do everything you can to find them. And when you finally grab a hold of them and you put them in your arms, welcoming, loving, compassion, relief are probably some of the words that would come to mind versus astonished. But Jesus was not the average boy. Though he committed himself, humbled himself to live in an earthly family and to grow and learn in the ways of the customs of that day, he was still Jesus. So when it says that they found him sitting among the teachers, these are the teachers in the temple at the end of the festival. You would have to think that the teachers that are there at that time are the A team. This is it. This is the festival of the year. This is the big one. This is the one that was required that every man that was a Jew, but was in walkable distance, traveling distance, had to be there. So for the temple, for those that were in charge, they would have put their A team out front. They wanted to make sure that the proper message and the proper teachings were taking place. And Jesus intentionally chose to sit at their feet, listening to them and asking questions. Well, that was also customary. That's how Jesus was being taught back in Nazareth, in his hometown, as he was entering this age of 12 to 13. He would be going to the synagogue. He would be spending quality time with his family, his relatives, whoever it was that was put in charge of pouring into him at this critical age of his transition, transitioning from a child to a man in the Jewish culture. So Jesus knew what his part was when he got to the temple. He knew to sit at the feet of the teachers, to listen to what they were saying, and asking questions. And it goes on to say, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus had a little leg up on probably most of the other boys that were sitting around, or even the men that were sitting around at the feet of these teachers. Though Jesus was being taught by the humans, his family, his relatives, those in the synagogues, he also was being taught by his Father in heaven, by God. He was given direct communications, direct insight, and that was helping him to continue to understand where he was going and what his responsibilities would be when he became a man. And of course, his parents saying they were astonished. So you would have to think that as they watched their 12-year-old son, who they know and custom hasn't quite become a man yet, but he is answering and responding as if he was a man, that was probably a point or time of pride and a time of reflection. But it's funny because when we go on to the next section, it defines that they really didn't understand what was quite happening. So let's move on to the call to manhood, another custom at that time for Jesus. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have anxiously searched for you." That's probably a pretty typical response if we were to find our child after 3 days of being missing. Concerned, where are you? Why did you do this? And then we get Jesus' response in 49. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Or in some translations, "be about my Father's business." That was also a critical part in the transition from a child to manhood in Jewish culture. It was a time when you were engaged in your family business. In this case, Jesus's father, human father, was Joseph, and he was a carpenter. So Jesus, at the age of 13, would be Jesus would be entering into a time of apprenticeship, when he would be learning day in, day out, by his father or by relatives that were also carpenters in the family business, teaching him what it meant to hone his skills, to be able to provide for a trade. But we also hear here that Jesus was being obedient to his heavenly Father when he says, I must be in my Father's house or about my Father's business. He recognized, even at that young age, that he had another special calling, another special purpose in his life, a purpose that he would be fulfilling in the future. But at this point in time, he was still living with his earthly family, and he was still growing and learning through the customs of that day. And then we head on to the last section. Growth, wisdom, and stature. Started in 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in the favor with God and man. So after this exciting experience that Jesus has being in the temple, at the highest point of teaching available to him at that time, as a young boy, 12, turning into manhood, being called to manhood, he then continues to humble himself so that he returns back to his hometown of Nazareth with his parents to be reunited with his relatives and the friends that have already gone on before them back to their village, to enter into this season of time where he will continue to grow and learn and understand. And there is a long period of time between 12 and the days when Jesus starts his ministry, near the age of 30. So there's a lot of time in which he remained obedient to his parents, obedient to the teachers in the synagogue, obedient to those that were mature to him, earthly, that were pouring into him and teaching him. That is the model that we are to follow. That is how we are to take our daily life and our daily walk and make it personal in our relationship with Jesus. Through the story, this unique story, a look at the life of Jesus as a boy, he was surrounded with people who were willing to pour into him, to give of their time and share what they had, and this produced a positive outcome in the life of Jesus. And I know, by having the opportunity to be in fellowship with you, with my brothers and sisters in this church, that this same level of pouring into has been taking place in your lives. And there is fruit that is coming from that each and every day as we continue to receive it and then pour it out and give it to others. So what does that look like here at Woodstock Evangelical Covenant Church? What is the fruit from generations past that is still being lived out in our daily lives? Let's take a look.
My name is Lynn. My father is Enric Weaver, and thank you, Dad, for teaching me a great work ethic.
Hi, I'm Larry. My dad's name is Lenny. Thank you, Dad, for teaching me to be faithful to my wife.
Hi, my name is Greg. I would like to thank my dad for teaching me how to drive.
Thank you, Dad, for teaching me to play the hand you're dealt and do the right thing even when you can't see anything good coming out of it. So thank you for teaching me that.
Hi, my name is Dave, and my father is Nicholas Longo, and I thank you, Dad, for teaching me how to react with poise when dealing with multiple troublesome situations. I thank you so much for never exploding at me when I brought you problems, but always being calm and rational.
Hi, my name is Curtis Rogers, and I want to thank my father for bringing me to church when I was little, and bringing me up in the admonition of the Lord through the church so that I become a Christian, and that's what I'm most thankful for my dad.
Hi, my name is Daniel Gallen, and Dad, thank you for teaching me how to focus on God and just love Him with all my heart.
Thanks, Dad, for always being here for me.
So I wanted to, you know, thank my father, Bill O'Neill, for teaching me how to be a man, how to be truthful, how to work hard, how to be wise, and how to make good decisions in life, how to take care of business, and how to really love the family around him, and never to give up, I think, on us, and spending time with us, focusing us, feeling like he was like engaged with us at the time that he was with us, even though we were had been divorced, my parents, but the time that we spent together, I felt like he was paid so much attention to us and still does to this day. So thanks, Dad.
My name is Russell. Thank you, Dad, for teaching me how to change the tire.
My name is Aiden, and Dad, thank you for helping me ride my bike.
Thanks, Mom, for teaching me to be confident in myself, to be comfortable in any situation.
Hello, my name is Justice, and thank you, Dad, for teaching me how to be a good man.
My name is Michael, and Dad, thank you for teaching me how to work on my machines.
My name is Bethany Smith, and thank you, Mom, for teaching me how to help myself work.
Hi, my name is Ben, and my dad taught me how to work hard.
This is Neil, and Dad, I'd like to say thank you for helping me learn to work with people.
My name is Max O'Neill, and Dad, thank you for teaching me how to love the Lord.
Hi, Dad. I wanted to say thank you to you for giving me my name. My name is Kokav or Kochava, and it means star in Hebrew.
I want to read a little something. Love is spelled time. Time is the raw material of your relationship with your children and must be guarded at all costs. Life will shout 1,000 demands to take you away from the time you spend with your children. If you permit the urgent to rule, you will lose time you can never recover or catch with your hand. What happens in the changing life of your child today will never be repeated. All the gold in the world cannot buy back either the little delights of the day or the big pleasures that happened without announcement or plan. Simply, you have to be there. You will never find the time to spend with your children. You have to make time and plan for it. There is no other way. As we take a look back at Jesus' approach to knowing God and seeking understanding, we reflect that this is a model for us to put into action in our daily lives. No matter our age, and with earnestly making sure that we teach our children. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the fruit that has been poured into all of the men and women of this church and this body. Let us be courageous. Let us use time wisely. Let us give time as a gift to those who are in need of it, those who are young, those who are less mature, those who could just benefit from the time of fellowship and teaching, so that we can raise each other up, preparing them for what the future has in store and being obedient to you, Father, in heaven. I guess it's in the name of Jesus.